Hi, this is Ryan Kailoff, coastal reporter at WWNO. Since my time here, I've been able to produce stories about our changing coast that listeners all around the country have heard. But it's only because of your financial support that we can tell New Orleans stories to the world. June 30th is the last day of our budget year, and we need your help right now to reach our goal. Track our progress and give today at WWNO.org. And thanks.
You are invited to join WWNO and Christwood Retirement Community on Saturday, June 25th in Covington for a live listening and video party of Garrison Keillor's second-to-last episode as host of A Prairie Home Companion. It comes from Tanglewood. Celebrate one of public radio's biggest icons with PHC door prizes, food, and fellow fans from 4 until 7 p.m. on Saturday, June 25th at Christwood's Atrium Gallery. It is free and open to the public. There's more information at WWNO.org.
Welcome to Ask the Governor with Louisiana Governor John Bel Edwards. This is your chance to speak with Governor Edwards and personally ask your question. The phone number is 877-217-5757. Get a line now. We're underway. This is Ask the Governor on the Louisiana Radio Network.
Thank you, Neil Gladner, and it's time for Ask the Governor. I'm Jim Inkster, your moderator, and Governor John Bel Edwards is here, his third Ask the Governor show. And he has a special guest, Commissioner of Administration Jay Darden, former state senator, former secretary of state, former lieutenant governor, and now the Commissioner of Administration in the Governor John Bel Edwards regime. Governor Edwards, good afternoon to you.
Good afternoon, Jim, and thank you and all the listeners for tuning in to our third edition of Ask the Governor. You know, we started this program 2 months ago to get information out to the public and to provide answers to your questions. It also allowed me to get the feedback and hear the concerns from people around Louisiana. And so while we might not always have the answers here on the show, we make every effort to follow up with folks after the show to provide the best information and offer assistance if necessary. And today I'm pleased to be joined by Commissioner of Administration Jay Darden. As everyone knows, we're in the middle of a second special session to finish the work of closing the budget deficit that we inherited from the previous administration. When I was sworn in on January the 11th, the deficit for the fiscal year that begins on July 1st exceeded $2 billion. Thanks to the work of the legislature, we whittled that down to $600 million deficit through a combination of savings and efficiencies, but also by raising additional revenue. But unfortunately, with that $600 million shortfall, now that we've got House Bill 1 passed, we know what the cuts look like. And quite clearly, we're not adequately funding next year the TOPS program, K-12 education, higher education, health care, to name several of the most important areas of the budget. So I think we have to do better. That's why I've called the legislature back into a second special session. We've got about a week left in that session. And right now, Jay Darden and I are focused on protecting TOPS, fully funding K-12 and higher education, and making sure that hospitals remain open and that other essential health care services remain available to the people of Louisiana. So I encourage the public to remain engaged, and I'd ask them to also encourage our legislators to work with us in good faith. And by the way, the vast majority of legislators are doing that. It's tough. This is not the way I wanted to spend my first 6 months in office, either making really drastic cuts or asking for revenue. Both of those things are difficult. But I'm convinced we're on the right path to stabilizing the state of Louisiana so that we can move forward in a more responsible way to a more prosperous future for the people. And the one thing I'll finish up with before we take callers, Jim, you know, it's easy. It's relatively easy when the treasury is full to do for the least among us. But when you have serious shortfalls, I believe you're no less obligated to do for the least among us, but it's just harder. And we're having to work through those issues, but I'm encouraged, not that everything's going swimmingly well, but I'm encouraged that we're going to be able to get the job done and responsibly budget for the state of Louisiana. But clearly, this next week is very pivotal.
Ben in Lafayette, good afternoon, Ben. You're on the air with Governor John Bel Edwards and his special guest, Commissioner of Administration Jay Darden. Hi, Ben.
Yeah, good afternoon, Governor.
Yes, sir.
I understand Bobby Jindal through 3,300 consulting contracts spent about $750 million a year for 8 years. Plus, the state police was taking about $50 to $60 million from our highway fund. Are you still fulfilling some of those contracts that Bobby Jindal had? Do you continue spending our money? And why are you picking on the hospitals and the kids?
All right.
Well, Ben, you were coming in a little broken. I think I understood most of your question. You asked about the Transportation Trust Fund. I can tell you that our budget right now diverts not a single dollar from the Transportation Trust Fund to the state police. We are trying to maintain the integrity of that fund, to maintain the trust, if you will, that the public should have, that when they pay gas tax, it's going to go to roads and bridges and ports and not to the state police. And so that does, in fact, free up $60 million that will stay in our highway priority program, for example. With respect to consulting contracts, we have reduced a number of contracts since I've taken office. Contracts, by their nature, are legal obligations, and many of them have a termination date that is well into my term. We have not eliminated all of them, obviously. And there are an awful lot of contracts out there, and I've got Jay with me because one of the first things we started, even before we took office, was a comprehensive review of contracts to figure out where we could save money so that we would have more money to move to higher priority items like healthcare and higher education. So, Jay?
We've seen a number of reductions in contracts as a result of the budget crisis we're facing. We look to the leaders in the departments to prioritize their spending, and one of the first places they looked where they could save money was to eliminate or reduce contracts. And in fact, we reported that to the legislature just this week, and we also undertook an exhaustive survey to identify all the contracts. This is kind of hard to believe, but nobody knew the number of contracts we had until we came into office and undertook this study, and we were able to report to the legislature just this week the exact number of contracts we had on a given date. The date was actually May 27th of this year, and we're going to be continuing to work through this term to reduce consulting contracts and contracts in general.
John in New Orleans, good afternoon, John. You're on Ask the Governor.
Yes, good afternoon. I appreciate the hard work of both you and Lieutenant Governor Darden. I have two questions, both dealing with higher education. In light of the budget issues, why don't we eliminate top scholarships to private colleges? Similar programs in other states don't subsidize private institutions, particularly since many of those universities have other resources for scholarships. And why can't the various higher education boards be consolidated and a statewide strategic plan be created for higher education?
John, thank you very much for the question. As for TOPS, we have done some things this year that get us started towards reforming the TOPS program and making sure that the cost of that program don't grow exponentially as we move forward. That program started off with about $60 million total. It's $300 million today. $240 million of that is state general fund, which is why we're struggling so hard with a $600 million deficit to fully fund TOPS. But one of the things that we did is I signed a bill that would cap the cost of the TOPS program at this year's tuition rate so that if next year universities raise tuition again, that doesn't increase the cost of the TOPS program. And hopefully they will be more hesitant to actually increase tuition because what we have to do is start putting more state general fund towards higher education. We've led the nation in the last 8 years in our disinvestment in higher education. We've got to turn that around. But with respect to private colleges, you know, that is a relatively small part of the overall cost of the TOPS program. I know that it was configured from the outset in a way that would cover tuition at private universities, but not to exceed that which we would pay for public universities. So I don't want you to think that if someone goes to Tulane, for example, and the tuition is several times that of LSU, that we're going to pay that full tuition from the TOPS program. That's not how it works. Higher education boards, there is no national best practice. I'm confident that we can work within the existing structure.
You're listening to Ask the Governor with Governor John Bel Edwards on the Louisiana Radio Network.
Every third Wednesday of the month, WWNO Radio presents Ask the Governor live with Louisiana Governor John Bel Edwards. Governor Edwards is taking listener call-in questions live on the air right now and for the rest of this hour. 877-217-5757.
Thank you for joining us for Ask the Governor. John Bel Edwards, the governor of Louisiana, is your host. His guest today is the Commissioner of Administration, Jay Darden. Your number is 877-217-5757. Helen in New Orleans. Good afternoon, Helen. You're on Ask the Governor.
Yes, hello, Governor. I'm so thankful to be able to put this to you. I'm a teacher in Orleans Parish, so I'm in the middle of the whole experiment that's happening in public education here. I work at a school that does not have selective admissions for students, which is where I want to be. And the change in the MFP funding that's being allowed to even be introduced in Orleans Parish seems to go against the best interest for the students that are, especially in special education with gifted and talented abilities. The funding is about to be cut by 90%, and I'm really not understanding how this is legally acceptable. I know there are two lawsuits from two excellent schools that are selective admission schools, but it's going to affect, my charter network as well.
Helen, thank you for the question, and I appreciate your lifetime or your career, I should say, of teaching and the benefit that's given to the kids in Orleans Parish. We do have problems with funding for K-12 education, and I don't want to get overly technical. Right now, House Bill 1, the budget bill for next year, has a $44 million reduction in what we will be investing in our school districts across the state of Louisiana. It was technically done outside of the MFP formula last year, so it's not really MFP dollars, but the MFP formula did not even get advanced in the regular session. So there is no change to the formula overall. And so I'm going to have to look into this and see whether this is a change coming from the state or whether this is a change happening in Orleans Parish with respect to a reduced amount of funding available for gifted and talented programs. I just don't have the answer for you. I will tell you that from my perspective, we should never get comfortable by reducing our investment in K-12 education across the state of Louisiana, and I'm working very hard to reverse that $44 million cut.
BJ in Covington, good afternoon, BJ. You're on Ask the Governor with Governor Edwards and Commissioner Darden. Hi, BJ.
Good afternoon, gentlemen. I appreciate you taking my call. I am a retired public educator of 30-plus years, and my question deals with TOPS because I know there's a TOPS issue right now with the funding. It's actually a two-part question. Do we still have the TOPS Plus and the additional funding for the students who get a higher GPA or a higher ACT score? And if so, would that help the everyday TOPS funding if we were to just cut that and just have a flat-out TOPS award?
All right. Thank you, BJ.
Well, BJ, I will say what I said earlier to Helen. Thank you for a lifetime of teaching our kids, and thank you for the question. With respect to TOPS, we do have the different categories of awards. We've got the basic award, an intermediate award, and then the highest level. And yes, the higher levels do involve not just tuition, but also some additional money on top of that. I can tell you that a bill that I believe was authored by Senator Claytor here in Baton Rouge passed, and I signed it into law, that will reduce the amount we spend on those stipends at the higher level in order to shore up the overall solvency of the entire program. And so there has been a step taken in that direction. But I will tell you that the TOPS program costs $300 million. Right now it's underfunded by $155 million, and the small step that we've taken won't be nearly enough to address that funding shortfall, which is why we're working with the legislature now trying to raise the additional revenue necessary to more adequately and more fully fund the TOPS program.
Larry in Independence. Good afternoon, Larry. You're on Ask the Governor. Can you hear me, Larry? Okay, let's see if we can get Larry back. Michelle, Julie in Kenner. Hi, Julie. You're on Ask the Governor.
Yes, thank you. I'd like to find out, please, why is it that we made changes in the tax break incentive that we had for the film industry? Because I understand that a lot of those businesses did go to Georgia. And so why is it that Georgia has been able to work all those tax breaks for, you know, people shooting a movie, and we were not able to do that here when we had really such a great reception?
Well, I can tell you, Julie, that last year is when those changes were made. And the changes did two things. It put a cap on the program at $180 million. In the previous year, I think they had paid out right around $250 million for that program. So the goal was to save $70 million to address a shortfall last year. It was put as a back-end cap, so even though we would continue to certify more credits than $180 million, under the arrangement passed last year, we would not ever pay out more than $180 million. That did have something to do, I suspect, with reduced activity in the film industry in Louisiana. But it's also true that other states, not just Georgia, have been increasing their incentives to that industry. I look for things to stabilize in Louisiana, and there will be more films and other production activities coming to Louisiana. I will tell you, we've not made any changes to that program this year. The fiscal year in 2017 may be the next time that there will be adjustments made. I cannot imagine, however, given our overall fiscal problem, that we would raise that cap from $180 million.
Al in Lafayette, good afternoon, Al. You are on Ask the Governor.
Governor, I have a problem with you talking about us being $600 million in debt, and then you just had a pay raise for state employees. Not only does that affect us immediately, but it affects us down the road with their retirement benefits going up.
Well, Al, we do have a $600 million deficit. That's a fact, so I have to talk about it. I have not issued pay raises since I've been governor. Governor Jindal did that on his way out the door, even though he knew at the time he did it that we were in deficit. And you're right. Those are costs that we are having to deal with because they increased the amount of recurring expenditures that we have to come up with for next year. So they did add to our problem. That's without a doubt true. But it is not true that I granted the raises.
Julio in New Orleans. Good afternoon, Julio. You're on Ask the Governor.
Mr. Governor, good afternoon. And good afternoon to WLENO. I have a question. I would like to know, what is your position and our state legislator's position on the idea of legalizing recreational marijuana as a form of generating tax revenue for the state?
Well, Julio, thank you for the question. I'm glad we were able to get you back on the phone. I'm not going to try to speak for the legislature. I suspect there are some members of both the House and the Senate who may feel differently than I do. I feel very comfortable that when I tell you that I am not in favor of legalizing recreational marijuana, that would be a position shared by the vast majority of both the House and the Senate. I'm just not comfortable with that. We did pass a bill that I signed into law that I think makes meaningful changes in the availability in the near future, hopefully, for medicinal marijuana for certain medical conditions. But the recreational side of that, I'm just not in favor.
877-217-5757 is your number. A line open right now. Ruby in Baton Rouge. Good afternoon, Ruby. You're on Ask the Governor.
Hey, Governor.
Hey, Ruby.
Oh, Lord, thank God for you. I appreciate the Medicaid insurance that you went on and signed the bill. I appreciate that very, very much. Also, I want to ask you a quick question, too, about state group insurance. I was employed at state group insurance, and how Jindal brought in all these different people and paid them $1 million to shut us down about different, you know, different people came in and did a survey on our insurance and was telling us that we ain't going to have no job. And, oh, Lord, he paid these people millions of dollars to come in just to shut us down. Well, you know he was going to transfer our job to Blue Cross.
Well, Ruby, thank you for the question. First of all, with respect to the Medicaid expansion, that $600 million shortfall we've been talking about would be right at $800 million currently without the Medicaid expansion. So bringing that, our federal tax dollars from Washington back to Louisiana to provide health care insurance for our working poor is going to actually save us right at $200 million. With respect to the Office of Group Benefits, I will tell you there were a number of changes made there. The worst thing that happened was that the previous administration raided the cash balance and reduced it by about $300 million. And then the answer was to raise the rates that we charge our active and retired members of the Office of Group Benefits. That was a real problem. And, of course, it was privatized years ago, as well as you alluded to. We are still paying. I think it's going to cost us an additional $13 million this year because of the raid on the cash balance. So that is something that Commissioner Darden and I are working hard to get back under control, to make sure that the people who are both retired and active in terms of state employees, that they have the benefit of a sound system that is responsive to their needs and doesn't charge them more than we absolutely need to.
Larry in Independence, I think we've got you back, Larry. Larry, good afternoon. You're on Ask the Governor.
Yeah, Governor. Congratulations on your election. And the thing I want to ask you about, I think Bobby Jindal has set up where people who could work would still be able to get food stamps and all that stuff, you know, help. But if a person can work and they're not married or they don't have any children, they should be able to work and help the state out.
Larry, I think I know what you're talking about. For about the last 19 years, the state of Louisiana has received a waiver from the federal government to allow SNAP benefits, and they used to be called food stamps. They're called supplemental nutrition benefits now, SNAP, for what are classified as able-bodied adults without dependents. So if you're from 18 to 49, I think it is, and you don't have children and you're considered able-bodied, but if you don't work, that you are able to draw food stamps. Now, why is that important? That waiver is only available if you have an unemployment rate in Louisiana that exceeds the national average. And so we did continue that waiver in place for this year. As you mentioned, Governor Jindal had it for all 8 years. We continued that waiver in place this year. But we also put work and job training and education requirements through a coordinated effort with the Department of Children and Family Services, the Louisiana Community Technical College System, and the Workforce Commission. So we actually have put in more requirements than required by the federal government if these individuals want to continue to receive the benefit.
You're listening to Ask the Governor with Governor John Bel Edwards. We're also hearing from Commissioner of Administration Jay Darden. Your number is 877-217-5757, and we will be back after this short timeout on your local station.
This is 89.9 WWNO New Orleans. You're listening to Ask the Governor. Support for this public radio station comes from Jefferson Parish Sheriff's Office. The JPSO is now recruiting candidates for their Volunteer Reserve Academy. Those accepted will receive the same tactical training and equipment that is provided every JPSO officer currently. They are accepting applications, and they will through the 8th of July. More information is at jpsojobs.com. Currently going on right now at all four Whole Foods stores in the New Orleans area, WWNO Day at Magazine Street, at North Broad, Veterans Boulevard, and the new store at 3420 Highway 190 in Mandeville. Today, listeners can show their support for WWNO, meet members of the staff, and enter drawings for WWNO prizes at those Whole Foods locations. It will pick up once again between 4 and 7. Information's at WWNO.org.
This is Jim Inkster. Thank you for being with Governor John Bel Edwards and Commissioner Jay Darden on Ask the Governor. If you get a busy signal, be patient, and if you do get on the line, please be brief. There are many people who want to speak to these two gentlemen. I remember a year ago this month, you were both at the Farm Bureau Convention, and you were there with the two other candidates for governor, David Vitter and Scott Angel, and the budget was the big issue at that time. Commissioner Darden and Governor Edwards. You've been at this now for 5 months and 4 days since the inauguration, and actually worked on it, I'm sure, between the election and the inaugural. Is it as bad or worse than you anticipated?
I think we both agree that it's worse. We talked during the campaign expecting a shortfall that was around a $750 million number, and lo and behold, the shortfall for the current fiscal year that ends in just a week or so was $1 billion. And the shortfall for the fiscal year beginning on July 1 originally was $2 billion, as the governor mentioned earlier. So it was a lot worse than had been anticipated. And it seems like every couple of weeks we discover something new, some gimmick that was used in the past that we're simply not using anymore.
And despite the morass that is evident with the state budget, Governor Edwards, you're on record as saying that you're going to be back in a few years running for reelection.
Oh, sure. Now, look, you got me to come out early to announce that I was running for governor on your program. I didn't come here today to announce my reelection effort, but clearly I'm going to do that. And by the way, we are going to stabilize our state, and we're going to make steady progress between now and the end of my term. I have no doubt the people of Louisiana will understand that they're much better off at the end of this term than they were at the end of my predecessor's term.
Oliver in New Orleans. Good afternoon, Oliver. You're on Ask the Governor.
Yes. Good afternoon, Governor, gentlemen. My understanding is that a lot of our budget woes are due to the decreased price in crude oil and natural gas. So I guess one of the other side effects of that is that it also has driven down the price of gasoline. I was wondering if anybody had ever given any thought to imposing maybe a gasoline tax, at least until prices recover, you know, something that would be maybe swing back and forth so that it would generates revenue while gasoline prices are as low as they are and crude oil prices are as low as they are.
Oliver, that's a good question. And yes, it's been considered. And in fact, I created a task force just last week by executive order to look at the transportation infrastructure needs as well as potential funding mechanisms. And they'll be looking at increasing the gas tax at some point, I suspect, is one of their options. But the reason we haven't moved to increase the gas tax to handle the current budget problems are because the Constitution requires those proceeds to go to the Transportation Trust Fund. They cannot then be spent on things like hospitals and universities and TOPS and K-12 education. And so they would not help us out of our most pressing problem right now. And so they are not in the call for this special session, and these items were not in the call for the last special session. And you made an introductory comment that the price of oil is largely responsible for our current fiscal problems. It's less than 25% of the current problems relates to the price of oil. The biggest problem was the inclusion over $800 million in the current budget of one-time money that was nevertheless lined up against recurring expenditures. That's the single biggest problem that we've got to overcome. It's not the price of oil.
877-217-5757. John, well, I tell you what, it's HB in Denham Springs. Good afternoon, HB. You're on the air with Governor John Bel Edwards and Commissioner Jay Darden. Hi, HB.
Good afternoon, John. Governor, thank you for taking the call. In many years past, Mr. Kennedy carries a lot of credit when he says, we do not have a budget problem, we have a spending problem, which leads to my question. Have you or any of your staff ever challenged this man to sit down with you, line item by line item, find you $600 million without cutting the budget, or without raising taxes on the people? Thank you, sir.
Well, HB, this is Jay. I can tell you, he wouldn't be able to do it, just like the legislature has been unable to find cuts to say we don't have a revenue problem, we have a spending problem. The reality is we've balanced this budget on the back of one-time money, and you can't do that. You can't do it in your household, and you can't do it in a business, and you can't do it in government either. The treasurer likes to pontificate about this repeatedly, and he demagogues on the issue, and he's running for office, and people need to take that into consideration. The legislature recognizes we've got a very serious shortfall, and the debate will be whether or not we generate enough revenue to close it.
And, HB, I would just add that we're always going to look for ways to save money, to cut expenditures that are not worthwhile, to create more efficiencies. And I will tell you, we have a spending problem as it relates to tax expenditures for sure. We are actually spending money through the tax code, writing checks to businesses in a way that does not produce an adequate return on investment. And that is one area of spending that we need to get under control for sure. And the Senate today passed a bill through Revenue and Fiscal Affairs Committee that actually takes a meaningful step in that direction. And I applaud them for doing that.
Dale in Lafayette, good afternoon. Dale, you're on Ask the Governor.
Yes, I'll ask a question and hang up so I can listen to your answers. But I'll start off by saying that so far the session, it all sounds like the same old, same old. Where can we tax and put more burden on the Louisiana citizens? That's just the way it sounds. I know I hear you guys saying y'all look at every corner to cut. So let me ask you this, Governor, three questions. What was the expenditures of the state when you took over, and what do you pledge to have it down to in 4 years?
Okay, Dale, I understand the first question, the expenditures of the state, and I'm not looking at the spreadsheet that showed the expenditures of the state, but I can tell you that the single biggest problem that we have with the budget, and there are several, was that there were $800 million that was only available one time that was in the budget for the current year. And there are no trust funds or other funds that can be raided in order to prop up those one-time dollars. And so in order to try to deliver the same services, not grow government, not increase services, but to try to provide the same services, you have to replace the $800 million in one-time money with recurring revenue. Secondly, in order to get out of a jam last year, the governor totally failed to account for any increase in Medicaid utilization costs. That was the first time since the mid-60s when the Medicaid program came into existence that happened. So in my first year's budget, I have to account for two utilization increases. And then to get out of a jam last year, the governor decided he would make only 11 Medicaid vendor payments. And in my first year, I'm going to have to make 13. Those are real challenges, and that's why we have to have additional recurring revenue in terms of state general fund just to meet the obligations of providing the same level of services. Now, there is a growth in the budget. Primarily, it's federal dollars that I make no apology for, because we are accessing our federal tax dollars from Washington to expand health care coverage to working people here in Louisiana, and those dollars are coming from Washington and for that purpose. But make no mistake, the budget problems are real. Nobody likes asking for more revenue. I don't like it. This is not the way I intended to spend my first 6 months in office, but it is imperative that we stabilize the situation in Louisiana and put ourselves on a more fiscally sustainable, responsible path, and I am bound and determined to do it.
Bill in Ruston, good afternoon, Bill. You're on Ask the Governor.
Well, thank you, Don. I want to thank the governor and Jay and all of them for the hard work they're doing. I know this is a massive undertaking. But what I would like to see the governor and the Congress look at, the House, is an internet tax, a tax, maybe a flat 1% on any purchase made over the internet, and that money go directly to Baton Rouge, not to the parishes, straight to Baton Rouge. It would be easy collection because it would all go to one place, not all these different parishes, but straight to the Baton Rouge area. Any purchase made on the internet taxed at maybe 1% or 2%.
Well, Bill, you bring up a great point. One of the problems we have is we have a shrinkage in the base of our sales tax. For two reasons. One is the retail sector is not as strong as it used to be, and more of it's oriented towards services. But among the retailers, much of that's being done online. And now, the fact of the matter is, because of a United States Supreme Court ruling that was really dealing with catalog sales and probably needs to be revisited by the court, they said that unless the retailer has a physical presence in the state, that we cannot require them to collect and remit sales taxes on internet purchases made from them. Now, we did pass, and I signed into law a bill that would allow us to be as aggressive as possible in this regard. But the real answer is in Congress passing the Marketplace Fairness Act, which received overwhelming bipartisan support in the Senate. The House of Representatives and Congress has not taken it up. But if they would do that, we would be able to have collected and remitted to us sales taxes on internet purchases. And I will tell you who benefits, not just local government with the revenue, not just state government with the revenue, but those businesses in Louisiana who have invested here, bricks and mortar retailers who have a payroll to meet, and they are supporting our economy, and they have employees and so forth. They are at a 9 or 10% cost disadvantage to these out-of-state internet retailers because we do not require them presently to collect and remit sales taxes. They would be the biggest beneficiaries, and we owe it to them to do that. So your point is right on. We are moving in that direction, but we do have to have some help from Congress.
All Things Considered returns at 3 p.m. Right now it's a quarter before the hour. There's more of our program yet to come. If you want to call in, speak with the governor, you can try at 877-217-5757. Support for WWNO comes from Spider Smart Learning Center, an after-school tutoring service offering reading and writing programs and providing students a foundation in language skills. Now enrolling regular and summer camp students K through 12, offering math, reading, and writing, and SAT test preparation. Spidersmart.com has more information. Support also comes from Bring Your Own, a live storytelling series that takes place in unconventional venues around New Orleans. Each month, storytellers have 7 minutes to respond to a theme. Stories are told live, unscripted, and true to the teller. There's more at bringyourownstories.com. Ask the Governor continues on WWNO.
This is Jim Inkster. Thank you for being with us for Ask the Governor. John Bell Edwards and Commissioner of Administration Jay Darden are here, and if you would like to call, please try to get in, and we'll try to get you in and make it brief. 877-217-5757. As we went to the break, Governor, I was asking you about next year. I don't imagine you plan on spending the first 6 months of 2017 in session.
I do not, and by the way, next year is a fiscal session. It'll start in April. And so we're going to start later this fall crisscrossing the state, not just meeting with legislators, but also people in business and industry, higher education, everybody across the state to try to develop a consensus around comprehensive tax reform. And there's a task force currently meeting. It'll produce a report in September. And then we need to develop a consensus so that we can actually move this state forward in a very comprehensive way. And by the way, Jim, I will just tell you, in my estimation, the courage that's going to be required of legislators to move towards comprehensive tax reform will be much greater than what they're being asked today to do in order just to stabilize our state. But if the people of the state come together and demand it, I remain confident that we're going to be successful.
Scott in Lafayette. Scott, good afternoon. You're on Ask the Governor.
Governor, thank you. Three quick points I'd like you to comment on, and Mr. Darden as well. On Lafayette I-49 connector, has there been consideration of a bypass or a loop instead of running that I-49 right through the city? That's one. Two state budget issues. What is the human cost calculus in the state budget? Is there anything you can do there? The last thing is relating to state contracting. You know, New Orleans is leading the way in Louisiana. They're doing a disparity study on their contracting practices, considering our economy that's in a recessed state.
Scott, I'm going to answer the first one, and I'm going to let Jay answer the second one on the human cost calculus and on the state contracting question. On the I-49 connector, a decision was made many years ago about the general route that I-49 would take through Lafayette. Pursuant to that decision, the state of Louisiana has spent $50 million acquiring right-of-way to facilitate that footprint. And I think the days of moving it completely out of that footprint or to do a loop instead, those days are past us, and we have to remain committed to the original model. Not that we can't design it and execute it in a way that that best fits with what's going on in Lafayette. And I can tell you there are many, many configurations of I-49 under consideration as to where the off-ramps and on-ramps are going to be located, where they won't be located, what sections are going to be raised, and so forth and so on. So DOTD, under Secretary Sean Wilson's leadership, is being as responsive as possible to the people of Lafayette, but I don't believe we can consider moving that connector completely out of its current footprint. Now, Jay, with respect to human cost calculus and state contracting.
Well, Scott, we have not undertaken a human cost calculus specifically, but I can tell you in setting priorities and spending, that is what you look at. You look at how it's going to affect the people of this state, and we have a lot of poor people in Louisiana, and that's a big part of our budget that we have to deal with in education, and the human cost of not providing an education to the people of this state is going to be extravagant, and we don't want to see that happen. On contracts, we have undertaken in the first 6 months here a very thorough study of the contracts we have in state government. This is going to be a priority for us during the off season as we prepare for next year's budget, and you're going to see some shrinkage in contracts and a more responsive result from the way we approach how dollars are spent.
Elizabeth in New Orleans. Good afternoon, Elizabeth. You're on Ask the Governor.
Thank you.
You're on the air.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call. Appreciate it. So my name is Elizabeth. I'm calling from New Orleans. I'm a civil servant here. I did vote for you, Governor Edwards. So I'm happy to hear that you are elected and doing everything you can to get us in a better fiscal position. That said, I'm with you 100%. What I'm really concerned about at this point, especially being a resident of New Orleans, is gun control and the amount of us that have been personally affected by gun violence. Especially now we're looking to a more federal level. We're seeing what's going on in Orlando, where, you know, 49 people were killed by a weapon that didn't need to be bought.
All right.
Elizabeth, thank you for your question, and thank you for your service to the state, I assume. I think you said you're a civil servant. As it relates to gun control, as you know from my campaign and my 8 years in the legislature before that, I am a big-time supporter of the Second Amendment. Now, I will tell you that I'm heartened today to know, for example, that Donald Trump, who has received the NRA endorsement, is actually sitting down with the NRA to discuss whether they can support what I think is a common-sense measure to prevent people who are on the terrorist watch list who cannot board a plane from being able to pass a background check to acquire a weapon, a gun. I think that that's common sense, and I don't think there's anything about the Second Amendment that requires us not to do things that are clearly about common sense and safety for the public. But I thank you very much for your question.
Doug in Alexandria, good afternoon, Doug. You are on Ask the Governor.
Good afternoon, Governor. Thank you. I'm looking at last Saturday's edition of the Town Talk reporting the passage of House Bill Number 2, in which there were 11 state projects listed and 36 local projects. My concern is that we have suspended funding for the Central Louisiana Technical Community College downtown, which was had a groundbreaking already and proposes to greatly fuel the economy as well as downtown Alexandria. Why are we suspending that while we continue to fund these numerous local projects? And
well, thank you very much for the question. First of all, everything in House Bill 2 will not be funded and certainly won't be funded in the first year. That's the nature of the capital outlay program. And so we will move forward within the confines of our bonding capacity. And to make sure that we can manage the cash flow within the construction projects as well. But secondly, and I think more importantly, the campus of the Community Technical College system in Rapides is not being funded through the capital outlay bill. It was through Act 360 from a few years ago, and it was in phase one of Act 360. The problem with moving forward with that campus right now is it would visit even more operational costs upon the Louisiana Community and Technical College system, which right now in House Bill 1 is due to be cut. It will take its share of the overall $55 million cut coming to higher education. And at the present time, until we can shore up the operational funding of the system, we cannot cause it to incur more costs because we would then literally be closing facilities elsewhere in order to meet the cost that will be required by this additional campus in Alexandria. Now, I am absolutely committed. I've met with Mayor Roy and others from Repeats Parish and have met with Monty Sullivan, the president of the Community Technical College System, many times. As soon as he can demonstrate that the technical college system is in a position to bear those additional costs, we are going to move forward with that campus. I have no doubt that it will prove very beneficial, not just for Rapides, but for all of Central Louisiana, and we're going to do it, but it would not be responsible to move forward before I know they can bear the cost.
Jim in New Orleans. Jim, please be brief. You're on the air.
Hi, Governor and Commissioner. Thank you very much. I hate to put another problem on your plate, but I've been following the Zika virus as it's heading this way, and Louisiana with its mosquitoes, we are going to have a great problem, and I'm wondering if the state government is discussing this. And I honestly think if we need money, the people of Louisiana, if you went to them for a surtax or even an increased sales tax to fight this, we could all come together, because I think this is a serious problem, and I am terrified by it, and I'm wondering if you've been discussing this at the state level.
Jim, thank you very much for the question. It is a very important matter. We have to be very diligent. We have to be prepared. Yes. And in fact, just last week, I had a telephone call with the White House, and on the call was Secretary Burwell at Health and Human Services. But also, we had the individual, and I can't remember his name right now, I apologize, who runs the Centers for Disease Control. And I was on with five or six other governors in states that are deemed to be high-risk areas. And we were talking about things that we should be doing as states and additional funding that we can expect from the federal government, which unfortunately doesn't look like presently it will be available until early August. And we need the money now to make sure that we're doing everything we can to control mosquitoes, because we do have a couple of species of mosquitoes in Louisiana that are capable of transmitting the virus. There has been no local transmission of the Zika virus in Louisiana, and I want everyone to understand that. There are a very few isolated cases. These are individuals who traveled outside of Louisiana, typically to South or Central America, and returned with the virus, but there has been no local transmission, and of course, that's what we're guarding against, and I can assure you the folks at the Department of Health and Hospitals in Baton Rouge is doing everything that they can possibly do to prepare us for this.
Thank you, Governor. Thank you, Commissioner. We'll be back next month. Thank you.
Thanks for listening to Ask the Governor with Governor John Bel Edwards. This program is produced by the Louisiana Radio Network.